Jane, we sometimes hear of national parks and monuments being created with little fanfare or political drama, but that certainly wasn't the case for Saguaro National Park and its earlier designation as a monument. You document in your new book some of the intense political wrangling that went on for years and years.
Yes, and it starts as a monument. Presidents, typically those leaving office, declare monuments. And we got Saguaro National Monument. Congress legislates that it be a park. And so when Herbert Hoover left during the depths of the Great Depression, the president of the University of Arizona, Homer Shantz, was just determined that this area east of town was going to be a monument. He also wanted an observatory up over there. And finally, they did prevail upon Herbert Hoover to declare it a monument. Then when he left office, Roosevelt inherited it. Roosevelt transferred it. It came under the Forest Service. Roosevelt transferred it to the parks. And they didn't really want it. And it was a fight to get it through.
Why was that? Was it because it was considered a desert wasteland by some?
In part. But part of it is the ranchers of the area. If you go out East Speedway, you will see that there's the Tancaverde Ranch on one side and the park on the other. The ranchers were grazing cattle, and they were afraid that if the Park Service got it, they would lose their grazing rights. They were assured by Isabella Greenway and Carl Hayden that they would not. However, they did.
The story of the creation of Saguaro National Park has a lot of players and some really interesting names. You mentioned Representative Isabella Greenway, Senator Carl Hayden, but also former Presidents John F. Kennedy and Bill Clinton, and they were instrumental in making sure that the West Unit was added.
Finally, we get the West Side, which was a wonderful addition because it has these marvelous petroglyphs out there. And so now we have the two sides.
Which is unique among national parks.
It is very unique among national parks because it is the only one that was dedicated to being preserving a plant, one plant. It preserves a lot of them, but it was that magnificent saguaro.
Jane, the story of Saguaro National Park is more than just the politics and the players. The area was also known for homesteading and ranching. And one of the big issues in the early days of the monument was settling cattle grazing claims. Why was this so important?
Probably the biggest damage to the saguaro are the cows that are stomping all over the young plants. The cattle was the big one. And there was even mining rights. The limestone kilns, of which there are still remnants out there. And it's said that the lime that came from those kilns is part of the wall of the university along Park Avenue, came from those mines out there.
One of the more influential characters in the history of Saguaro National Park is Joseph Frank Carithers. What can you tell us about him?
He was the one that was really instrumental in pushing the West to be part of the Park Service.
Now, he was a horse cavalryman in
yes.
his early days, and then later on he became kind of a writer and a popularizer of Western conservation.
He did.
He was also the superintendent of Big Bend National Park.
Yes, he was.
Very storied individual.
Very storied individual. All of these people are very storied, and there's a few of them that are retired and still active in the Park Service. Don Eggermeyer and his wife, they were known as custodians. And he was, I think, given $60 to run the park for 6 months.
What role did the Civilian Conservation Corps play in developing Saguaro?
The nicely environmental friendly, the structures that you see out there were built by the Conservation Corps. And if you go to Colossal Cave, which is on the other side of the park, They've done a wonderful job of putting up a nice little CCC museum. And they got a lot of stuff from the CCC, and I've got some nice pictures, because now the people are coming forward that remember, you know, the park. And I advise anyone to go see the park, on the other side, the ranch, and then on the other side, the civilian. There's a whole lot of good stuff for people to enjoy in that area, plus, of course, the western part.
We're talking with Jane Eppinga about her new book on the history of Saguaro National Park in pictures and words. The history of the park also involves the many cultures that have called the area home over thousands of years. Jane, what do we know about them?
We know that the Tohono O'odham derived their sustenance from the plants and the animals, too, in the park area, the Tohono O'odham. And the harvest of the Saguaro is fascinating. Then there is the prehistory with all these wonderful petroglyphs. We don't know what they mean, but they are intriguing.
Now, of course, the park protects the Saguaro cactus, but it also protects a collection of petroglyphs out at what's known as Signal Hill in the West Unit.
Yeah, I love just going around and looking at the different petroglyphs and wondering who walked here before I did. And what were they doing? You know, there's bighorn sheep, there's zigzags, there's stick figures. And to tell the truth, they can imply anything they want, but we just flat out don't know what they mean. There will always be a mystery to Saguaro National Park.
Your new book is full of some amazing historical images. Where did you find all of them?
The wonderful photographs that Dr. Homer Shantz took are part of the Center for Creative Photography. And he did a brilliant job of photography of plants all over the world. You can go online and look at them. I particularly love this one. These guys are sitting in their suits. They have taken their coats off, but not their ties. They're in suits, and they're sitting on this cactus. The one in front here is Dee Dodge. She was one of the early women to become work for the park, for the Saguaro National Park. And you can tell it's a windy day. These little girls are holding down their dresses. There's not a pair of shorts or pants in there. And they're probably miserable. But by gosh, they're learning about cactus. And that's kind of maybe what I think we should all do.
Jane, you've studied local history for quite some time. Would you say that the past of Saguaro National Park is particularly well documented? I mean, it almost seems like there's a lot of pictures available of Saguaro's early days.
And that's thanks to Dr. Homer Shantz in part, and also thanks to the park, because they have a wonderful collection. Dr. Shantz photographed it, and he was just determined that no matter what obstacles he ran into, he was going to get this park for the university. And what he did was he started writing checks for the land off of university funds, and the Board of Regents did not quite approve of him, you know, just going out and writing a check and buying a bunch of land. But he did, and eventually he got pushed out of the university. He kept working in the Forest Service, but I truly fell in love all over again with the parks when I went out there. And it's a Tucson treasure that we have it so close to us.
Jane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Jane Eppinga is a local historian. Her latest book on Saguaro National Park is part of Arcadia Publishing's Images of America series. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.